From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Nguyen announcing show number 792, Supporting Multiple Clouds Using Azure Arc with guest Jeremy Winter. Recorded Thursday, August 5th, 2021. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts, LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. Today, my guest is Jeremy Winter, last on the show back in 2016. He's now the Vice President of Program Management for Azure Management and Kubernetes, and has been a longtime hard worker around making Azure work for everyone. Welcome back to the show, sir. It's been entirely too long. 5 years. Good Lord.
Yeah, 5 years is too long for sure. It's great to be back with you. So, for sure.
And it's just the rate of evolution of Azure. Like, we could probably talk every month. There's so much going on in this space.
Yeah, it is on all fronts, just full steam ahead, and has been for the last, even since, you know, gosh, if I look back, it feels like not 5 years, it feels like five decades for the amount of momentum that, you know, all the teams at Azure have had in there, and especially the space we've done in management and hybrid and all that. But man, the entire space is moving quick.
Well, we talked in 2016. You were in charge of Operation Management Suite, which to me was the first sort of idea that there would be an umbrella across any kind of cloud or any kind of platform, didn't matter where it was. I think that was the vision then.
It was. We had really, and a lot of that has pedigree into what we'll talk about, you know, some of the tech that's there today, mm-hmm. because the vision was to think about management and how it could reach across these different environments that would come. But what we learned quickly and pivoted was still early at that time, mm-hmm. and we needed to get it. The right path would be to really bake this natively into Azure.
Interesting.
That is where we've spent a ton of the last few years baking management technologies, thinking about the control plane.
So is this really like every IT I talk to, guy, girl, everybody has the same problem. Give me one dashboard. Tell me what's going on. Like the one perfect view of everything my company operates and that I'm responsible for. Is that the mission of Arc? Am I crazy?
No, I mean, it's a piece of it for sure.
Okay.
It's a piece of it for sure, but it's so much bigger. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to kind of dial into Arc gives you, you know, I think you have to dial into the folk that Arc gives you the governance and control through a control plane.
Okay.
Which gives you that common view and a single way to do it. But Arc also gives you the ability to really start to run Azure services anywhere and start to leverage that portability of Kubernetes. And it starts to allow for IT or for the IT and developers to start to leverage the skilling of everything. If they go to cloud skilling with Azure in an Azure first world, then they can leverage that, those same skills and that same technology everywhere. And so it's expanded much beyond just that single pane of glass, which is still there, but it's mm-hmm. a much larger issue about how we think about kind of the world of hybrid and the world of multi-cloud as we see our customers really start to embrace and shift those directions.
So how do you define hybrid today? Because I feel like that term is evolving.
Overloaded.
As soon as you find a good term, people jump on board, right? Like,
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. The team spent a lot of time with customers, and we're all working through, really the notion of hybrid and multi-cloud and edge. These are all kind of three big terms, mm-hmm. and I'm happy to kind of give you my view on it. They're all somewhat related, but somewhat different. It's kind of how I talk about it. And it depends on what you're trying to solve. I look at the notion of hybrid as really needing the ability to have an environment that is going to be ran anywhere. And you're going to need visibility into that environment anywhere. Now, we often focus the teams in a hybrid way to think about hybrid as the work you would do between a cloud and within your own edge or on-premises environments. On the multi-cloud view, You know, they may be using an Azure, an AWS, and a GCP. Mm-hmm. And so what does that mean from a multi-cloud perspective is, as we go through it? And then, of course, you have the edge, which fits in across all of that, depending on what, how you look at it. It really is, we're seeing disconnected manufacturing floors. We're seeing edge considered as out onto, you know, IoT-like devices and smart buildings and such. And so they all have some commonality of, you need common skilling, common governance, mm-hmm. common security. You're going to want your application to have portability across those. But in a multi-cloud world versus a hybrid world, there are some nuances. And one example that we see quite a bit with some of the manufacturing customers we're working with are, in a hybrid way, they have existing stuff that already exists on their on-premises that they're not going to move or is going to take time to migrate to the cloud. And right. so can they connect and use the cloud practices to go back with the control plane?
And that does have some challenges, right? Like you are asking them to change the way they currently manage on-prem stuff to more line up with cloud management style.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, for sure. And they're asking for it. Mm-hmm. They like the inventory governance, config management, the policy aspects they're seeing in the cloud. Mm-hmm. They're finally able to really put a level of governance, and they just want to see that applied back in a consistent way. But we also do the Kubernetes side, because Kubernetes is growing immensely.
Sure. No, it seems to be the container technology that is one, because it's supported by all yeah. the major clouds and more. It certainly runs yeah. on-prem. Like, and it's now, I see this ecosystem emerging, all these other tools and skill sets. Like, if I put on my enterprise architect hat, I'm comfortable using Kubernetes because I know I can hire into that skill set.
For sure. Yeah. And you're able to not only hire into the skill set, but you know there's an entire open source community right. behind it. Mm-hmm. And you're able to ensure portability if you need to be able to move or have different environments that are consistent.
Yeah.
And we bet big with that. This is a key differentiator, I think, that we've done compared to some of the other clouds, is I've really wanted the teams to stay focused on, again, this notion of flexibility at the kube level.
Right.
And even the Arc-enabled services that can, you know, these Azure services that can run on Kubernetes environments, we don't require you to use a specific distro. As long as it's CNCF certified and we validated it, it's good to go.
Nice. Well, I also imagine someone who's gotten into Kubernetes and has got something running and you're saying, hey, you need to dismantle this and use our versions. Like that's not going to be a popular move, mm-hmm. but it's like, no, your thing runs, yeah. right? Maybe you need to up-level yep. a patch or something, but that's about it. Your stuff will move. That's super compelling. Because that's the issue yeah. I've seen with folks saying, oh, look, Kubernetes runs all these places, I'm just going to run it. It doesn't actually work that way. It's like, oh, no, you go over yeah. there. They want this configuration of Kubernetes. They want that, those sets of patches. They're not the same. So it's like it's checkbox compatibility. It's not real compatibility.
Yep. And so that's why we've provided both flexibility for your servers in those on that. And again, we're thinking in a hybrid arc. Mm-hmm. Flexibility of those servers, regardless of where they're running. And then we did the same thing with Kubernetes. We wanted to make sure we had flexibility on that front for just to be able to embrace the industry and where they're headed. And so that's been a pretty big win, both in the governance and leveraging the same management tools that are already down for the Kubernetes space. Mm-hmm. And then, setting us up for the Arc enabled services that are like the data services that we just GA'd, the machine learning services that are in preview. And then at Build, we announced a bunch of the app dev services like functions and logic and a lot of the serverless path that we have there will all run on those different Kubernetes environments that have been Arc enabled.
Yeah. So what does it mean to be Arc enabled then?
So when you think about Arc enabled, first step is think about that control plane. That is your governance, your visibility, your central view across and managing all those in a single way, all through the Azure portal or our API CLI layers. Mm-hmm. The second thing is really about Arc enabled, and that can be, again, servers or Kubernetes environments. Then you have your Arc enabled services, and this is the new services. This is the Azure services that the new releases we did, the Azure services that are able to run on anywhere in those Kubernetes environments. They can be off Azure. You can take an Azure SQL database, have it Arc enabled, and then that it can run within your own environments.
Interesting.
On a Kubernetes infra.
Okay. So the Kubernetes becomes this enabler to lift these different services and run them on different platforms.
Yeah. And that's why I said this is, when we think about, it depends on which customer and depends on what we're doing, right? When we think about the IT and that they moved to a cloud center of excellence, man, we're really seeing an uptick of the control plane and just what we're doing with that governance capabilities and security capabilities. It really just enables that acceleration of enable some control and some safe safeguards while they accelerate with the developers.
Right.
But the developers, this is where we're seeing as they modernize and they think about leveraging the cloud even more, they're betting on Kubernetes.
Right.
And so by doing that as part of the modern app, they can leverage Azure services. They build their own Kubernetes apps and leverage the management capabilities to help streamline that consistently. But then the app, the developer really has this advantage where our developers can build on Azure, using the Azure services, and then know that as they build, say, one of those key components that needs to move all the time because of regulatory or data sovereignty is the data system, which is why we focus there first, is now I can take and bet with Azure on the Azure data side in the cloud. And then as I need to have customers or myself have sovereign requirements, regulatory requirements, I can run it within that specific environment. Even if it's on AWS, if you need to be just close to the customer in that environment.
Sure. Well, yeah, no, and that's astonishing to think about because that SQL Server was the most close. I've worked in finance, right? And protecting the location of that data running under those governance rules was a big deal. And that was presumed to be something I could not move. So the idea that I could move to other data centers in this architecture without redoing the database and still stay in compliance, that's really an interesting problem space for the right person. I mean, certain industries is a huge deal and some it's not going to be a huge deal.
That's right. But we saw the financial services, the healthcare, governments really, really needing this need. And it was where we focused first on our path or our journey with the Arc enabled services for sure.
So did you see this as simply a class of customers that were not moving to cloud because of these regulatory constraints and sort of open the door for them?
No, I think that, what we saw really was a desire to start to go leverage the cloud more. And we wanted to really help ensure that those developers and those apps could be Azure centric.
Right.
We wanted to simplify it for them instead of having this continually straddling both sides of, do I have an on-premises SQL Server and how do I think about porting that to, and how do I get the data system to work? We just wanted to remove that complexity.
Right. Get rid of that dead drop day, the day that server got turned off and this other server was running all the workload. That doesn't seem to be the thing anymore. You can't even tell where stuff moves these days.
Well, it's fantastic to see how it's all progressed because these are things we just dreamed of 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, and they were really hard, right? Like moving data, those dead drop data moves were some of the scariest days of work I've ever had because it was hard enough to get there. But if you had to revert, like that's the day you dust off your resume just ahead of time, just in case, right? Because boy, if we have to pull back, that's not a small problem.
I think the other piece of the data release that I like that the team has done is in addition to just the actual data system that you're managing, you had to keep it up. You had to keep it updated. And so that's the beauty. One of the aspects that I think really pulls people towards our Arc-enabled data services. And I know we're down in the data level and we can pull it back up, but in the Arc-enabled data services, it also really gives you a bit more of the services-like capabilities that we have running on Azure, and we brought that into the service. So tuning, performance recommendations, keeping it up to date, those are all the same things you would have on Azure or the same things you get on the service. And that's our goal for all the Arc-enabled services, whether it's the data or functions or logic apps or the ML, it really is to allow you to bet and run and have the advantages of what you get with SQL or the advantage of what you get with our Arc-enabled or our Azure services back in the environments that you need it in.
Well, the rush is always, hey, what happens if I add 4 more cores and another 32 gigs of RAM to the SQL and I could switch it on, run it for a while, decide it's making a difference and then just bill me by the month for the change, like rather than what it used to be, which is I have to now convince the CFO to order me a new server.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that modernization is occurring, that transformation of the companies as I meet with them, or they're really looking at just the reality of, and I think the pandemic pushed a lot of this forward as well, is just let's go bet further on the cloud, really start to go look at how we accelerate that modernization, and hybrid and multi-cloud are part of those conversations.
And we did a bunch of these shows last year where folks are saying, well, if I have to tear apart the app to make it run work from home anyway, I might as well push it to the cloud.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of problem.
And that's a big push for us. You'll see it's in our migration and modernization efforts this year from Azure. You'll see us start to really help with when and how do you do your app modernization. And Arc plays a role in both of those conversations, because as you think about the control plane of Arc, as I'm a customer and I'm getting ready to migrate, I have those existing Linux and Windows servers. Great, I can Arc enable them now. So I start getting the same practices that I'm using with Azure already in those environments.
Yeah. They're not new machines appearing. They're already there. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're already surfacing in the, you know, deployments, the templates, the portal itself. And that goes, and then on the modernization side, again, that goes back to, you know, just betting. I think you'll see Arc grow. Really, we see Kubernetes growing first, and we'll see that with our AKS service on the Azure side. Yeah, as Kubernetes grows, you'll see the Arc-enabled Kubernetes environments pick up even more so.
Absolutely. And I'm going to interrupt for a moment for this very important message. This episode of Run As is brought to you by the SQL Server and Azure SQL Conference at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, December 7th to 9th. You've heard the SQL Q&A shows we publish on Run As twice a year from the conference. That is a microcosm of the 5 days of fantastic learning available to you from the real-world consultants and members of the SQL Server team that speak at the show. Learn proven problem-solving techniques and technologies you can implement immediately, as well as insight into the future of SQL Server. Get answers to performance monitoring, troubleshooting, designing for scale and performance, working in the cloud, and exploring all the new features of the latest version of SQL Server. And if you've still got questions by the end of the week, join the conference's closing session and be part of the SQL Q&A show on Run As Radio. The SQL Server and Azure SQL Conference is at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, December 7th to 10th. And I'll see you there. And we're back. It's Run As Radio. I'm Richard Campbell. That's Jeremy Winter. We're talking a little bit about Azure Arc and the sort of hybrid world and the Kubernetes world. And I want to dive a little further into this, because the menu of apps, internal apps these days, that the average mid-sized company have, I mean, it's hundreds. Is it really feasible to talk about taking these brownfield apps and Kuberneticizing them so that they live better in the cloud? Is that a practical exercise, or are we really talking greenfield, like re-engineering?
I think we're all still learning on this one.
Interesting.
There is clearly quite a bit of tools and desire to take the existing applications and containerize them so that we can get them into a containerized world in a much faster fashion. I think we're still seeing, we have a preview of a version of that. I see some of the other providers have the similar efforts. I think there is a desire, and we need to push hard to get to that, to get to a Kubernetes run and get applications there as quickly as we can. Because what it does, if you're betting on Kubernetes, is it gets you a consistent environment, and you can start to go, you know, manage with your existing tool sets for that Kube environment. And I think the better and the more we push for auto-managed Kubernetes and more secure Kubernetes, that's just going to make life easier for everybody. Yeah, but why I say we're still all learning is a lot of times when you start to do that, we're also seeing you need to actually crack into the code and really start to go look at it, how it sits in a Kubernetes environment. And so we're on all fronts. We are providing tech for the lift and shift. We're providing tech for customers to go ahead and start to do a point click into containerization as we go do that. And really, really important that we take a look at that at the time and look, are there things that you don't want to containerize, like your web services, and put those on like app services. And just go ahead and run in a full serverless approach there. So it takes a bit of guidance, and that's With the teams, we've provided the tech, but then our migration and modernization programs have things like the fast track, which will get in and fully engage with our customers to help them through that transformation.
Yeah. And we did a whole show just on fast track, which was a great conversation too, because this is the idea of there is a lot of help here. Like the dev in me immediately wants a wizard that I can point at an application that I'm responsible for and say, could I Kubernetesize this thing? Could this thing live in containers? Because I think there's a certain number of, you know, in that repertoire of applications, some of them might just shift or have very minor changes. Yeah. And some of them are going to be, okay, this is a substantial amount of work. You know, now you have to have some considerations of, does it make more sense to re-engineer it or to make these changes?
Yeah. And so that's where we spend a lot of time, you know, helping with the customer discussions we're in, leaning in with the engineering teams, leaning in with our cloud solution architects, and then the fast track team on the Azure side, they're an Azure engineering team focused on that, is, you know, helping customers through that journey. You know, we did do your wizard piece, Richard, that you're talking. We call it the, you know, click to containerize, was our internal view. It's a public, we went public preview with it. We have quite a few customers using it. Back in March, we public previewed the containerization tool. So it basically will containerize them with you through a few steps onto AKS.
That's awesome. And it's what you want, right? Like you want that basic assessment that gives you a sense of what's hard and what's easy, and just go pluck the low hanging fruit and at least get some wins.
Yeah. And then I just look at it from an Arc perspective again. Mm-hmm. You ask, like, will they lift and shift or will they move everything? And I think this is the reality is, didn't they go back to this? The reality is, no, we won't move everything. Mm-hmm. And not everything will be a simple move. And so things will need to take time in that environment. And so hybrid is here to stay in our view. And this bet on the need for having a consistency across those environments is where we're at. And I'd say because of that hybrid piece, the other one I'll call out is, you know, this is why you talked about OMS at the very beginning. This hybrid piece has been baked into us, you know, has been baked into Azure from the very beginning. The ARM control plane has been designed for hybrid. And that gives you your governance and everything across. We've talked about the services, ARC enabled services. So now the ability for them to be portable. But then we've also have for those environments where customers are saying, look, I need the Azure type infrastructure local. I need a first party offering from Azure to ensure that we have that versus build myself. That's where we have our Azure Stack family. And then out on the edge, the telcos, the IoT, we have an entire IoT suite in that front. And so we at Azure have just, I mean, I think the core and coming from the, you know, Kubernetes runtime and the management piece with Arc, we've really felt this is there from the beginning. And we've been, you know, part of that. That's been part of our designs from the very, very beginning.
Now, I think it's very compelling, this idea that I move stuff into the cloud, I get used to governance that way, and then I push that governance down into my on-prem. I'd look at it from going through audits, because I've had the experience of when I told the auditors, hey, we're handling email in M365 with this set of governance rules. And they're like, yep, good. They check a couple of things. Like, it makes their lives easier too, because they know the rule set you're functioning under. The idea that you would push those same kind of behaviors, and I'm not going to talk about email because that's a whole other can of worms, around important data, and say, we're using the same governance practices that you use in Azure SQL. That's like, everything I can do to make the auditor relax a little and say, okay, that's a known set of rules. I get those. That's just going to make everybody's life easier.
It is. And that's why we saw one of the first scenarios when our customers really saw the value of the Azure Resource Manager or the control plane of Arc, be able to leverage those same capabilities. So customers were quickly able to just pull a real-time inventory of what was coming through the control plane, not an outdated CMDB or something on that lines.
It was a document that an intern made last summer, that document? Okay.
Yeah. And they could use the same resource graph queries. They could use the same, they could show that they were using the same policies
right.
that were in putting that they had in place, both in a consistent way for what was on-prem and in the cloud. And what I saw there was how fast and easy it was for them to implement in the cloud. And they're saying, can I just have this back on the other yeah. environment? And that's why it's usually the first step we see is get everything governed, get everything connected up into the control plane. And then we start moving down the path of, okay, now how do we take advantage of the other capabilities?
Yeah, it's an interesting modernization strategy that you have this new land in the cloud where you can put those governance places in place because you already have deep domain knowledge about your requirements. And then once you've got that up and running and you're comfortable with it, to then reflect that back into your older, a little cruftier on-prem stuff. Yeah, it's a really interesting strategy. There should be a book, you know, like that just seems like an interesting narrative about how I modernize my company by mixing yeah. cloud practices in.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a few MVPs and folks out there that have started on it.
Yeah, I hope so because it's
I hope so too.
It really is an interesting overarching strategy. Oh, no pun intended. This is an arc with an H. To mm-hmm. strategy to how I modernize governance practices across the whole organization. Thanks for bringing the tool for that. What are the rough patches in sort of projecting those governance configurations in Azure onto on-prem? Does everything map?
Yeah, not everything maps from the policy perspective when you're thinking about the policies you may have in Azure, like say what you have on the networking, just because things are a bit different there. Mm-hmm. Where I see some of the challenges or for adopting the hybrid or adopting Arc, I guess would be really at first identifying the existing environment that you are wanting to get Arc enabled and making sure that you are getting that connected through Arc. It's a simple deployment and mm-hmm. it's agent based. And then making the determination of adding which capabilities, whether it's starting with Azure Security Center. Usually we say start with the control plane, but some are looking for those security capabilities right away.
Right.
And then using Azure Security Center to set that up and looking at choosing how do I think about the Azure approach versus some of the other approaches you may have? And what guides customers typically is, hey, we have a hot spot in this area, or we know we want to make a change with security and governance. So right. we're going to use the Arc control plane and Azure Security Center in this way. It's really making that strategy for which pieces you're going to do. And then we see once the one or two of those aspects are worked through and the customers are comfortable with it, oof, it just goes.
Right.
I mean, we're seeing, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 servers, Linux servers just lit up over an evening or a weekend once they decide to go.
Yeah.
And, so I think that's really, I'd say the biggest one is, making sure you're identifying where to start and how to start. And the second one is really then, making sure you've got the Azure skill sets and spending some time with the Azure technology because it's different. It's a cloud first type approach when mm-hmm. you bring it back down. And so getting your head wrapped around that is usually a bit of time.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
The need for training is there. And the good news is there's a lot of training material out there too and lots of new certifications.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
we have a full cloud adoption framework that's out there for our teams, and then that all relate towards, Arc and migration and everything else in between. So for sure.
So one approach coming into Arc is this security centric. I want an overview of security, but another approach is the sort of management. I just need to see all my surface areas. Like I'm thinking about what are all the gateway drugs are to Arc.
Yeah, like I said, I think governance and security are your two biggest ones
sure.
from there that we see from the traditional environment. And then Kubernetes, just the ability to have a simplified Kubernetes management control plane where you can apply the same configurations, tie in the developer tool chain all in a single way across these different environments. It just simplifies that kube environment fully.
Right.
And that's the other for the modernization play. That's the other angle we see coming through.
Well, I can imagine that the devs have run off to do experiments with Kubernetes on some of their applications, and every one of them is different and configured differently. Like it's one of those propagation problems. They have been a little too joyful, and now we're trying to snap a little bit of guy. You know, you got to let the puppy run, but don't let the puppy throw up. So,
Well, I think there's been a lot of exploration with it, and we're seeing quite a bit of that. But I am pleasantly thrilled and excited to see just how mainstream this is becoming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And to the point of, you know, are now the mainstream large enterprise customers, not just the small startup or the, you know, the dev team in the corner.
Right.
It is mainstream. And now we're looking at what this, how Kubernetes, how AKS, the Azure Kubernetes Service, how do they play together to, really create the, you know, really the platform for the next generation. And, so we're seeing a lot of the major enterprises starting to lay that foundation. And again, I think it's depending on how you enter the conversation. But that is your second big view is, okay, now we need flexibility and we need better packaging for how our developers and that Kubernetes platform sits within our company.
Yeah. I think letting them get tangled up enough that they now know that some help would be useful and you can place that governance in there. That's good too. Get the feel for what it can do. And then the part of, hey, if we put some boxes around this, then things are easier, more reliable and less time consuming to take care of. So that's a good combination. Yep. And I appreciate that problem because certainly you hear folks dealing with container proliferation, just like we dealt with VM proliferation back in the day.
Yep. Yeah. And it's very similar. We're starting to see this. I always talk about to my teams about this. It's you're seeing the shift from startup to scale up.
Right.
And that is really about to accelerate there. And so that's why you see the Kubernetes runtime and the Azure ARM control plane and Arc all really closely together working on this. And it's really fun to see the combination of how the traditional and the new all come together in this.
It's awesome. Great fun to talk to you, Jeremy. Thank you so much for your time. I can't imagine 5 years from now what the conversation would even look like. Because I couldn't imagine this one 5 years ago, the last time we talked. I think we're going to have to do this a little more often.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
For sure. I love it. Well, Richard, thank you so much for spending the time. And I really enjoy, as always, just enjoy chatting with you.
You bet. So. It's good fun and interesting, useful information. And we'll
Perfect.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.